Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life listener style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Tonight at the designers, Transforming Cafe. We want to thank everybody who's checking us out on demand after hours. And if you are live with us right now, we want to thank you for that as well. Here we are at the Transformation Cafe, and we've got our regular sidekick over here, Mr. Jamie. Jamie, how are you tonight?
The regular sidekick, Mr. Jamie.
The regular sidekick.
Okay,
is that
yeah?
a good thing? I hope that's a good thing.
I don't know. Did I get my sidekick?
No. I mean, why do they call that a sidekick? What is with
know.
That? Maybe we could talk about that tonight. What's going on with that? Mm. Anyway, let's tell everybody who you are and how you are here at this show. How about that?
Oh, well, my name is Jamie Trujillo. I'm a friend of Robin's from high school. And I'm currently living in Seattle, Washington. I have a tattoo shop called Chromome Tattoo. We've been up here almost 16 years as of November. And I do tattoos for a living. And I hope I help people with their dermal designs.
Their dermal designs. Oh, that you're going to get a new one. Okay, you're calling it dermal designs. Yeah, with psychic armor. Dermal designs, that's an interesting thing. Okay.
Right.
And I am Robin Misevich, one of the regular diners here again at the Transformation Cafe. I have a flower shop in Riverside, California called Flowers for You. Been a florist for over 30 years, very proud of that, for the designing and all that. So if anybody's needing kind of parties or designs or anything coming up at the holidays, one of my specialties is doing Christmas decorations. So if anybody wants to get in and have that ordered, you can go ahead and call me. And that number at the flower shop is 1-800-688-7887. So tonight we were supposed to have a guest author, Mr. T.D. Austin. He was on last year, and he was going to be talking about his People of the Bear Mother. And unfortunately, I think something's come up with him. So we will definitely put him back up on another show in the very near future. Hopefully everything's going well with him. But if anybody wants to check out anything with Mr. Ted Austin, they can go to T.D. Austin, capital P, as in Paul, A, S, as in Sam.com. And be able to check his stuff out. He has his book available on the Kindle, so that's kind of an interesting thing. So it's really kind of like, aw, where are you, Ted? Hopefully he's okay. His first book was interesting because it was about the Chavette caves in France. They were the first caves that had ever been discovered with any kind of paintings and drawings and stuff inside of it. Are you familiar with those, Jamie?
If it's the one I'm thinking of, they were
in France,
right. And
yeah.
I think just recently there was another, they found another site, but they hadn't told anybody because they didn't want any, I mean, within the last 10 years or so, where they found a newer site, or a different site that was undiscovered, and they're trying to document it before they told everybody. I'm not sure if that's of the name of that, but I knew that had just occurred. But the other ones, I think the ones you're talking about are very well known and one of the best examples of, I'm going to say caveman art, I imagine, but done very well.
Caveman
yeah.
art, yeah.
Well,
the thing too is there's a documentary that if you go to his, there's a blog for T.D. Austin, and what's interesting on that, there's a 3D documentary that's about the caves from Werner Herzog called The Cave of Forgotten Dreams. And what's really cool with that, I've seen part of that on just different stuff. I know Discovery Channel and things like that have talked about it. And the way that they did all the drawings on the top with all the animals, it goes right along with astrology. You know, which
and
is really cool because they've got the stars up there, and then they did the animals on top of it. And what's really cool is even within the cave, if you almost like you looked up from the cave level up into the sky, it would be it's exactly where it would have been in the sky, depending on the time of the year. That it goes right in the pattern of all that. So really brilliant the way that they were, even measuring the distance for the stars and things like that. They were talking about, part of the documentary talks about just the level of a sense of, spaciousness and time and things like that when it came to the way that everything was put together. So it's pretty brilliant the way that they did all that. And there's like a mock-up version that you actually walk through and can look at, because the actual cave, they've got that closed off because they realized that they had too much traffic in there, and there was it was contaminating the cave, and they were afraid that it was going to start deteriorating because of just having people going in there all the time.
Well, yeah, it would just be the moisture of people's breath, even. That would probably make a difference in the stuff they brought in with them, like if it was anything on them that was left there, you know.
Yeah, you can't bring your lunch or your pop cans or anything like that. It's not going to be encouraged,
That's kind of like when, if you've ever been to Carlsbad Caverns, they, it's kind of like the same thing. They want to not, have so much traffic, which is kind of hard with air, but there's some places that they just don't let you go anymore because they want to keep it more preserved, I imagine.
I'm trying to remember, they were had a Hillhauser, if for people who don't know Hillhauser, if we're talking on the World Wide Web, he's a announcer that basically does all these small segments of different kinds of places in California, where it's called California's Gold. And he's pretty much spent a whole career going around talking about all the different just wonderful things that California has to offer. And a lot of them are very much off the beaten path kind of a thing. And there was this, I want to say it was up in the wine country in the Napa area, that there was this cave that was, it almost went straight down, and people would actually rappel down the this little opening they had up like in the gift shop, and then the other part of it was this old like spiraling staircase that you could walk down, and the inside of that was actually taller than the Statue of Liberty.
Well,
yeah, pretty amazing when you went down in there, and I thought to myself, I don't think I ever would go in there.
California is such a large state, and it's such a varied
diverse.
There's so much diverse, yes.
Yeah, it's very, because you've got like the redwoods up above, because a lot of people think that San Francisco is like, in Northern California, when actually it's in Central California.
Right.
You always think of it way up on top of the state when it's actually pretty much in the middle, which is really kind of interesting. And you go up to Redding and all that, and that's basically when you get way up in the, right there by the border of Oregon and all that. So,
had you felt any of the little swarm of mini earthquakes down there, I heard?
You know what? I really haven't been feeling them, and everybody around me is all talking about, little earthquakes, ooh, and I'm like, okay, so now what does that mean? I guess either I'm in the car or... or they're just so small, because it's the same thing that's been happening up in the Seattle area. There's been this just kind of constant shaking going on.
Well, imagine that there is constant shaking, but some of them are a little more pronounced, and that's what you probably would feel.
Right, a little bit of the
shaking all the time, right? And it was on a different, not the San Andreas fault, but the lower fault down there. I don't know the name of the fault down there.
There's Andreas. Yeah, I think Andreas is for like the Riverside. The Riverside area is kind of, that's our closest fault that we have.
Right.
But even then, that's actually more out in the desert. But
another thing, I just want to say, for our generation, if you watch the moon landing, and somebody had just passed away as Neil Armstrong, which is
kind of Armstrong.
Sad.
I know. I heard about that the other day. And yes, it definitely is a... kind of like a whole era is over.
Well, right.
Not having him a part of everything anymore.
Just being a space pioneer, and that's kind of going back, and things are a little different back then, I think.
Yeah. Not even a little bit. Way different.
Right.
Yeah, it's like the other day I was. I'm going to be teaching an artist way class through the flower shop starting in September.
Boy.
And, it was a really fun... Have you ever done that, The Artist Way?
No.
It's a program by Julia Cameron that was written about 20 years ago, and it really takes you step step through steps of different ways of being creative. And when you think about the artist's way, is it's not about, you know, being a writer or a painter or something like that. It's just how you're creative in the world. You know, some people are really good at being, you know, a parent, and the way that they parent is an art, the way that they do that. A lot of people are the way they organize things. It can be anything and everything that you really just feel a passion for and you're gifted with, and for whatever reason you've kind of, you know, you don't think of it as something that's really one of your talents. You're like, oh, yeah, you know, because like, wow, you're so good at that. I'm like, yeah, well, you know, that's not, I can't really make a living at that, when actually you really can, because it's just something and just taking what you really love and putting it out there that, you know, it just can come to a whole different level. So that's
so
pretty much the art.
You're doing
way
a
that.
Course
it's,
in your art?
A course in finding the gifts and talents that you have in the world, and taking your critic and being able to literally on a mental level, putting it in the corner when you're doing your morning pages and dates, and you have the artist dates and things like that. There's different kinds of tools that go along with that. So that's kind of an interesting kind of a thing. It's I'm going to be teaching it with a friend of mine. His name's James Elmore. And James has taught it, and I've taught it separately. So it's going to be interesting with the two of us doing it together. So that's going to be kind of a neat
thing. That'll be fun.
The flower shop. Yeah, I think it's going to be very interesting. And just because the reason I brought that up was because I was looking through my notebook that I had put together when I was doing the class last time. And it was back in 2000 when they had the email forms and things like that were so different than they are now. So I was looking at all these emails that I'd put into the, you know, depending on the week, different kinds of messages and things like that. And I was just kind of laughing because of the way it looks, you know. It's like, you know, it used to be, it's almost like this side of punch cards, you know, and back in the day
right.
When we first started computer stuff, it's all the punch card stuff. Some people are like, what does that mean? You have to be a certain age to appreciate a punch card, you know. When we first started college, that's the way we did everything with our punch cards. So there you go.
Right.
So, you know, and the computer was, you know, like as big as a living room, you know, how that goes. Probably even bigger than that, so, I mean, when they first started. So just pretty fascinating with that stuff. So, boy, did I get sighted. We segued on that, boy, going off from topic kind of a thing. So I was thinking that since we're kind of talking about the caves and things like that, and since, unfortunately, Ted can't be with us, talking about different kinds of discoveries and stuff, did you hear that they had found a new, a Picasso in some farmhouse someplace? It was a drawing that somebody had that was this, I guess it was a painting of a Picasso.
I kind of heard something, but I didn't hear the whole story.
Yeah.
I know they find things all, well, stuff that they, well, let's just say there was, there's quite a bit of things that have been unfound, if you know what I mean. It could be in somebody's attic, or it could be in somebody's barn, or could be in the ground even.
Well, and it could even be like in these storage units. I mean, you know,
right.
That Storage Wars, you know, they
right.
were showing up. Apparently that show's going to be, they're done with their last season, I guess. They're not going to be continuing. And one of the guys actually had a couple drawings from Picasso that somebody had in one
right.
of these storage
right.
units. Yeah, things like that. And he was like, so you never know what's going to be in these storage units, man.
Well, right. That'd be kind of taking, well, I don't know. It's kind of, it's quite an art, I guess, to, well, anyway, if you have the money and you have the time, I guess that's, and if you like doing that kind of stuff.
Well, you know, these guys make it their career to, you know, they have a certain amount of funding that they do. And I'm sure it's just like a sixth sense for them. They like open that thing up and they're just kind of like, kind of tune in on whatever level and know kind of what's going to happen or not happen with this stuff. So
and I also imagine that they're not too happy that, for the people that aren't on TV that do this, aren't too happy because now it's kind of popularized
yeah.
and more people.
Yeah, and everybody
to
wants
it.
To go in and
right.
be bidding on these units. Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
sure it's just with anything. When they popularize it, more people want to do it, and it's just it kind of dilutes it. But I don't know. Maybe that's my own opinion, I guess.
Yeah, we have another diner who's just joined us. Good evening. How are you doing?
Hello, this is Gloria.
Hi, Gloria. How's it going?
It's going well, thank you. I'm so excited
good.
To be able to be on the show.
I know. She's been popping off. She's turned into a college girl, so she's, you know, she's got her night classes and, you know, able to pop on and off. So we were supposed to have a guest chef tonight, Mr. Ted Austin. He was on a couple years ago, and he had written a book based on some archaeological finds that he had found with the Chaudette Caves in France. And we were kind of dancing with that, and then, you know, we've gone on. We're just talking about different kinds of stuff now. So, yeah, but just like different kinds of things. Had you heard that they, because we're talking about different kinds of art finds that they've been going on lately. One of them was they've had found a Picasso.
Nice.
Yeah, yeah. So different things like that that are happening with different stuff. So have you had any, you know, any well-known art that you've discovered or know about that?
Are you talking to me?
I am.
Ah, I saw recently that there's a big hoopla about a picture that an octogenarian added to. Apparently it was a very famous, a very famous painter.
Uh-huh.
I don't remember who, but that's my limitation on that one.
So, you know. So, Jamie, do you ever have anybody who wants to put a work of art on, as a tattoo on them?
Oh, well, it depends. I've done, works of art. I mean, by graphic artists or designer artists or deco artists, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much verbatim, you know, straight a copy.
Mm-hmm.
As far as if somebody wanted a painting or something, or tattoo of a painting, or I'm sure I've seen some, Van Gogh. I haven't really done anything like that, although that's kind of not a normal request, if you know what I mean. I know there's an artist who specializes in just doing fine art, but on a smaller scale and in tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he specializes in. I don't know how well it looks after a few years because it's so fine and detailed. But
okay.
That was kind of a fad for a while. But you know.
Is that something that you have to kind of have your client think about? Is like, well, in a few years, this is a possibility of what it could look like if you want to go something, like you're saying, something so detailed?
Well, it really depends on the individual and the way their skin is, and if they're trying to get something that's maybe not quite typical or predictable, you know.
Uh-huh.
'Cause that's on our end, that's how we would try to predict how it would heal and how it would look and how maybe it would age. So you want to make sure it's the right size and there's not things that are too detailed. And again, it really depends on the individual. A lot of times you can tell them that and then they'll still won't listen to you. But you're trying to do a good job.
This is what I want, and then I'm going to have a laser gun take it off later, so I really don't care.
Well,
this
know,
is what I want right
that,
now, you know.
That's the case. That is definitely an option, and people do have that option nowadays. But nowadays, I tell them that is possible. But you know, if you're thinking like that, I would probably give it a little more thought.
Yeah. Have you
Most
found
definitely.
That with the reality shows of these other ones where they've had these tattoos, salons, and things like that, that's actually changed your business?
No, it hasn't affected my business.
Okay.
Other than maybe people have a little unrealistic expectation about the time frame, and if it doesn't look like it hurts on TV because it doesn't hurt on TV, you know. It's definitely a boon and kind of a bust in certain terms, but it's always been popular. It'll always be popular, and it's kind of a cyclical thing, just like anything else. Although nowadays. Yeah, everybody. I mean, 1 in 5 people have tattoos. I think I read somewhere.
1 in 5? I think it's actually more than that. I would think it was more than that.
Well,
like 1 in 3.
The one I read, and it was. It could be. You never know.
Yeah.
But see, what I'm thinking too is the kids nowadays that are growing up and seeing their parents with tattoos, and you know, they probably won't want to do that. So they don't want to be like their parents. And
right, that'd be a rebel.
Thing,
I'm a rebel.
Nowadays,
I'm not going to get my tattoo.
You're being more of a rebel if you don't conform and get a tattoo. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's so popular. So a lot of times I'll if people aren't sure, then I'll make sure they are, or make sure they think about it a lot. Or
so
I haven't made any money, I'll just do the work. I'll do the tattoo. I don't care.
Yeah, well, you know, because that's kind of like me with floristry. Sometimes you just do what the customer wants, and even though you're looking at it like, I don't think you really want to do that, but okay, you know.
And, you know, they in that case, it's their thing, and if they I want to make them happy, I'll do it the way they want it. Right.
Right. So, kind of going back to that whole the caves in France. Are you familiar with any of that stuff, Gloria? Are you there, Gloria? She might have put it on her.
I put you on mute for some noise.
Yeah, she mutes us all the time. I'm not going to even take it personally. It's okay.
That's excellent.
Are you familiar with those caves, or?
I was curious if any of those caves are part of the caves that were researched for the latest book from the Clan of the Cave Bear series.
Oh, well, that's one thing that Ted had said, that all of his stuff is based on all the archaeological research and stuff that he does. So it's definitely science-based with the information that they have.
Well, she did a lot of research, and she lists in the front of her book, she talks about the different caves and gives her appreciations to the people who took her on those tours of the caves, and a large number of them were in France. So it could very well be some of them.
Yeah, yeah. Because like one thing I wanted to talk to Ted was about was, because part of what he does is he gets involved with all that stuff, and it's almost like he has, like, because we had a guest about 4 weeks ago on just, you know, automatic writing and kind of getting into that whole thing. And Ted was saying that his next book is actually another time period where it's similar to that, where it's out in a prairie situation, where that it was like the first area where they had figured out that the cattle was being domesticated, which is kind of an interesting thing. So, and he said that was in Asia. So he really gets excited about these different finds and stuff, and then his imagination kind of goes into that and saying, okay, well, what would the people like then? And, you know, face the story around that, the information that they find.
So where did the first cow come from?
That's what I want to know. It was in Asia someplace, apparently, and I'm like, well, you know, which came first? You know, instead of like, you know, the chicken and the egg, it's like, which came first with the, you know, how did cattle just like show up here? That's always what amazes me about stuff.
So the Guernsey cow that was popular in Britain came from Asia?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah, and
I wonder
he
what
was saying that the
that
reason that they... When there would be the flooding, when the flooding would occur, you know, the some of the herds and stuff would go in different directions. So some, depending on what area they would go in, they would wind up coming to England or whatever, because they would be following the waterways when they would have basically the flooding for a season.
Well, I think of oxen, musk ox, and different types of cattle, if you want to call them cattle, in Asia, Vietnam, China, you know, different rice paddies. I mean, you would see a lot of different animals, but they didn't look like the cows that were utilized for dairy cows that I'm familiar with.
Yeah, it's the same thing. It's just, you know, what always amazes me is, like, there'll be, like, one thing I always think of is, you know, you're on your way to Las Vegas and they put in a golf course and there'll be a water source is there, and all of a sudden birds show up. You know, you'll see seagulls or something, like way out in the desert like that with stuff. I'm like, where do they come from? You know, how do they know that there's water here and then they could survive? It's like, that's such a God thing. It's like all of a sudden these animals are adapting to this area and then, you know, there's like stuff shows up. It's just amazing to me. You know, whenever there's water, all this stuff starts showing up.
So it's like inviting your relatives for dinner and then they stay?
I guess. You know, it's like, you know, once there's water, there's the frogs, and then the frogs show up, and then all the rest of these animals start showing up because it's all the food sources start being created.
One ant tells the next ant, and next you know, you have a picnic.
I guess. It's kind of an amazing, you know, phenomenon to me. It's like, how does this happen? This is just kind of bizarre.
I tell you, those ants, they have, I think there's a super colony of ants. It's somewhere in South America, and it's humongous. They have quite a social structure as well, you know.
They, like, pick people up and walk away with them, right? I mean, we're talking about stuff like that. You know, it wasn't, they showed that in Indiana Jones, but it really happens, right?
Oh, well, there are ants that could, they're very,
aggressive.
They're very toxic, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they'll pick up and carry people away. Well, apparently right now is the season. Yeah, well, I mean, no, it happened in Indiana Jones. If it happened in Indiana Jones, it really happens, Jamie. That's just the way it is.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because it's just like anything on the internet, it's true. There's just certain things that are just like, you know, pet things.
Oh,
and that's the way it is.
You are not saying these things, please.
Apparently, they're reissuing all the Indiana Jones, and they're doing them in 3D, so you can see them at a different level. So that's kind of an interesting, yeah, that's the new trend of, you know, all these classics that did well are coming back out again,
actually,
so people can see them at another 3D level.
If they're actually going to be in 3D that is recognizable as 3D,
I don't know.
I'm just saying, then I might be willing to go see them again, but there are so many movies where they say 3D, you get in there, and it's like, yeah, I can see it better without the glasses, thank you.
Yeah, exactly. And that's pretty much what most of the stuff is. So, you know, I know that I've been hearing all these stories about people having ant problems that are like they'll have a barbecue and it's literally covered with ants, things like that that are happening
with ants. I just recently had an ant infestation in my kitchen. And the green way to work with them, other than talking to them telepathically, and they don't normally listen very well, even when you do that, but is one part vinegar to one part water with a little bit of dish soap. But it got to a point where it was so intense that I went ahead and literally scrubbed. I did soap, and then I did Awesome Cleaner, and then I took Comet scouring powder, and I just cleaned the surfaces where they had been. And then I took florist clay. They were coming out of a light socket in the kitchen. So I took florist clay and just did a bead all the way around the edge, and then they started coming out of the socket on the side where you put the plug in. And so I plugged that up, and now they're gone.
Well,
it took like 2 weeks.
Oh my gosh, that's just amazing. You know, you just like going, oh, you know what? Well, you know, it's the fact that it's been so dry too. They say they're coming out of the ground looking for water, but then they don't go to things that have water. Yeah.
They don't go to the water. It's like, fine, if you want water, here's water. But they go all around it.
Yeah. Let me give you a bowl, and you guys can have a swimming party. I mean, you know,
that's right.
Yeah.
Have fun.
Yeah.
Have at it.
Yeah. Exactly. But they don't follow the water, so I don't know. That's what they say, but that's really kind of it's like code for something else, I think.
I think that they're just not able to explain it, and it's like, well, why does the sun come up every day? You know, unless they have a logical explanation that makes sense, they make one up.
Right. So you know,
why don't people fall off the side of the earth?
Yeah, exactly. What's going on with that? Well, you know, now that we've discovered the moon, you know, we've discovered the moon. We talked about Neil Armstrong passing away already. So
did you talk about the recent earthquakes down here?
Yes. Jamie was asking me if I'd felt them. How about you? Have you been feeling them?
We felt them tremendously on Sunday, and it is now, I think, almost time 9:30.
I know. We're waiting for our 30-second call, but yeah, I know. The switchboard on this thing has kind of changed the way that it does its stuff. So it starts a little earlier, later than it had been, but yeah, we're getting very close to the end of the show. But anyway, just kind of finishing up. So you got rocked and rolled on Sunday, huh?
Oh, it was interesting, and it could have been scary, except that I really enjoyed this one. I was sitting in a training room, and I could feel the room I was in. First, it went like from 12 noon to 6 p.m., and then it went from like 3 to 9, and then it was going like 1 to 7. And it lasted for so long, but it felt like I was on water and I was rolling back and forth in this building.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness. Well, that epicenter on that one's actually in Mexico, right? That was a Mexican one, I think.
I didn't.
You were talking about that being in Mexico.
I heard that the first one was kind of east of San Diego.
Okay.
But I don't know specifically where it was. I haven't had the time to pursue that one.
Yeah. So, well, we're down to our last 30 seconds. So, anyway, thank you for joining me. As Mr. Jamie had to get up from the table and take care of stuff, so we thank him for joining us as well. And we will see you next time at the cafe for some more light conversation. Have a good night.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special. and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again, travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.